Dan Levitard, if we're really being honest about it, it's just a giant piece of shit.
To the Big Suey.
Bald Eagles.
A podcast exclusive that none of our bosses asked for.
More sports.
More work. Less pay.
I haven't stopped talking in a month. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Just when you thought the show couldn't be more diluted. Bam.
Last time I listened to this show.
I haven't listened for years.
Now here's the marching band to nowhere.
Am I missing something? What am I missing?
The end of the story.
Fat face.
Chris Fallick.
It's Felica. You made him a penis.
And the habitual liar.
I didn't ask for any of this.
You asked for all of it.
The Big Suey.
I'm Chris Cody, BSPN.
Michael Mann is like this insane director. Like I read an interview with Mark Ruffalo who said for Collateral, Michael Mann forced him to do 3 weeks of firearms training, even though his character never actually fires a gun in that film. And when it came time for Miami Vice, he wanted to essentially film on location in what is basically a lawless area in South America on the borders of like Paraguay, Brazil, and Argentina. Like all sorts of bad shit. It's just ruled by gangs. Arms deals with Hezbollah go down. Like, it is just a bad, bad place. No one in their right mind would ever be there, but Michael Mann insisted he needs to shoot in this lawless place, right? So they hire a private security firm, everything. Like, all the resources for this studio go to making Michael Mann's vision come true. One day, Colin Farrell goes out with Gong Li to meet her family, and then, like, a gang war just erupts like 100 feet away from them. Colin Farrell's diving on top of Gong Li. Bullets are flying over their head. One of the members of the security team gets shot and killed. Like, it is a bad, bad situation. Farrell was like, I am out. They all thought they were going to die. Jamie Foxx was like, I'm never coming back. The studio had to negotiate with Jamie Foxx and pay him all sorts of additional money. They hated each other. Jamie Foxx always resented Colin Farrell for getting paid more. It's just a crazy, crazy story. And then it gets even more crazy because they decide we're going to go on location again. And the private security firm that they hire ended up being gang members that would dress in regular clothes so no one knew who was there to protect them or shake them down. It was just an insane filming.
Didn't you say you didn't want to give too much away?
Well, I was just telling them. That's not going to be in the podcast. I'm not giving that away.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sounds like a hell of a movie, man.
The movie sucked, but you realize
I'm
why
disappointed to learn you weren't filling time there. I mean,
no,
I had to sit through that.
I've become very passionate.
I thought you guys had already started just because I could tell Stugatz was in Stugatz mode. Like he had gone to get the volume.
I did get the volume. I was talking about how Miami Vice and Michael Irvin are the two reasons, the two things that made me want to move down here to Miami. I mean, who was more Miami? Miami Vice or Michael Irvin? I mean,
you're still doing show. You're still shouting at me.
I love Michael Irvin. I don't know, the playmaker. He got me excited about moving down here.
Nah, Michael Irvin is more Fort Lauderdale.
I guess.
Remember when he went to the studio?
Yes.
How can I forget?
All the time.
I was searching on Twitter yesterday, Levitard Brothers, to see if it was still hacked by
Been trying for a month. I've had people for a month trying to fix that Twitter account that was hacked, and it's damn near impossible to get anybody to help us.
So I searched Levitard Brothers, and up came a tweet from Michael Irvin from that day that he visited us in the studio. Went to dinner with Dan afterwards, and there is a photo of Michael Irvin with a friend and Dan there, and Dan looks like slightly scared.
I was supposed to go on that dinner with you. I totally bailed.
I mean, not surprising at all. That one of the many things Stugatz has dropped in my lap that I get stuck with alone after he's promised to do something.
I think I invited Michael Irvin.
Him to dinner, and then I got stuck doing dinner with him after you bailed. No, but Stugatz, don't start with your finger wagging.
I'm making it worse for myself. I invited him in here, okay, to do an hour of radio with us. I think that's when he told us about, was it the jacket?
Having sex in his Hall of Fame jacket and laughing maniacally. Mike, do you have the sound of that? We should play the sound. We played it plenty back then.
But the payoff for Michael, he didn't want money. He wanted to have dinner with us at Prime 112. Well, he had dinner with you at Prime 112.
That's right.
I got out of there.
That is correct. Billy, what do you remember about Michael Irvin coming to the studio? Why do you bring it up?
I just remember that he was there. Back to this Rob report, by the way, not to change the subject, but you can buy a submarine for you,
just did,
and five friends. I don't know if you are aware of this. And then there's a link that it says it starts at about $3 million. And I click the link, and it takes me to an article about this same submarine as one of the toys of summer 2012. So for 8 years now, you've been able to buy a submarine. Now, when you spend $3 million, guys, you get 4 weeks of pilot training, during which the owner and his or her yacht crew learn how to launch the Triton from a deck or tender garage. A launch crane is sold separately, and how to recover and stow it. So for $3 million, you can buy a submarine, but not the crane to launch this submarine. That you got to pay extra for.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Are you allowed to start a thought with not to change the subject and then change the subject for a full 90 seconds afterward? Even though I value every morsel of information you gave us there, the thing that I was laughing about was how Michael Irvin came into the studio that day. And I need to give people all of the backstory on this, because I've been covering Michael Irvin since he was in college. And when he was in college, he promised me the scoop that he was going to leave the University of Miami early. And it was a big deal back then because he was a first round pick. And I must have called him 1,000 times after that. And he did not give me any scoop at all. And it's the first time I recognized I need to get married to a Stugatz, because they can create content for you for a million years just by lying to you. So over the next 25 years, covering Michael Irvin through the height. It's the last time the Cowboys were actually any good, as you see what happened to them last night. And they've stunk for 30 years while all their guys, including Moose Johnson, get all the good broadcasting jobs. Like, they have not been any good since back then. And Michael Irvin was walking. This happened when Roy says Fort Lauderdale and Michael Irvin. I remember being at the home in Plantation of Michael Irvin's mom when the newspaper arrived with a headline, and this just will give you one indication of what Michael was and what he is. I'm there at her house, and the newspaper arrives, Dallas police officer arrested for trying to have Michael Irvin killed for having an affair with either his girlfriend or wife. I don't remember. And that is where Michael Irvin spent his Miami life after getting to the pros in a world of drugs and sex that had him walking through courtrooms at the height of ESPN, at the height of sports, at the height of football, in a fedora and a, you know, a giant mink. And then he shows up to the studio with all that as precursor. He shows up 2.5 decades later, Mike, and we can all say, right, we've never seen him quite that wired, correct? None of us. Not on television, even though he can be excitable. He arrived at the Clevelander, and he was in the red 150 miles an hour.
That's from one of the fusion shows. I would love to see tape, because I think it was all on all our faces.
We were all scared.
Oh, no, we were.
No, yeah. We were all scared.
It was like I was looking at the Ark of the Covenant.
Okay, listen to me, Ark of the Covenant. Listen to me, because I want people to understand this story. You think it was like looking at the Ark of the Covenant. I now tell you that he arrived here that way in the afternoon, and Stugatz stuck me with him for dinner by myself. I want you to understand that he arrived. So I spent the evening with the Ark of the Covenant blowing in my face, like centuries of history just blowing, melting my face.
If I recall, he brought a friend, did he not?
He did, his uncle.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you are not sorry. You've apologized to me insincerely for 20 damn years.
When I got it, it took me a little while to get it. You know, I got some Lewinsky on mine, because I went right home, touched my baby in it. She said, "No, we're not." I said, "Yes, we are."
You're not getting into this bed. Right. You're not getting into this bed with this jacket.
Yes, I
yes,
am.
You are.
Yes,
you
yes
are.
We did.
All right. There you go. That is a startling story, but okay. You wanted to be wearing the Hall of Fame jacket while making love. I don't know how many people have done that, but congratulations on...
Yeah, you got a Hall of Famer here, baby.
I am scared listening to it again. He came in... Wait, phrasing. He arrived with such intensity that it legitimately frightened us. And again, I will tell the story. Stugatz just bailed. He just bailed. He left me. He promised Michael Irvin dinner and all sorts of things and just evacuated.
Well, he had dinner.
Yeah. You responded to a tweet back in 2015, Dan. Enjoy dinner with my brother Walter and my boy at Le Batard Show in Prime 112. And he posts a picture, which you kind of look a little scared. And then you replied, I just woke up next to Sebastian the Ibis in a dumpster.
I wasn't wearing any clothes. I was nude in a dumpster. And Sebastian the Ibis, I had feathers in my mouth. I don't know what happened.
Anyone see Chris Fowler's Instagram post?
Did you see that beach?
Yeah, oh, the beach that comes out of the yacht? Yeah.
Yeah.
How does a beach come out of a yacht?
Here, go to Rob Report. It's
Send the link. Somebody send the link here.
I mean, if you don't know, Anthony, you're never going to know.
I mean, I guess so.
It's a 394-foot mega yacht that has an epic beach club that expands like a bird's tail.
I saw the Fowler Instagram post, Chris.
Man. Yeah. I mean, I knew he'd be in good shape, but wow.
Yeah.
He's jacked.
Like, way more than I expected. Like, his shoulders. Like, he's got an upper body of, like, a bodybuilder. That dude is jacked.
He's been working out. I told you, I know this.
Yes, Dan, he has.
Hard to believe because you look at me and you mock me, but I've worked out with Herb Street and Chris Fowler like many.
They seem to be getting better results.
It's why I was hesitant to tell the story because I knew you should have seen how eager Stugatz. You guys, I haven't had his attention like that in about 9 years.
I'm
like,
sorry.
You're not sorry. I haven't had his attention. Like, I knew I was walking into that as soon as I said the story, and here I am volunteering it for his perusal. I mean, how much do you want to take from me, Stugatz?
So while they were clanging and banging with the free weights, you were doing that thing, that bicycle for your arms?
go ahead, keep going.
Oh, man.
Okay, I lobbed it in here. Keep going. Just keep going. Yes, I was using the Jack LaLanne. Actually, I was, what is that thing called that wraps around the waist and just vibrates? That old.
I bought one of those.
Roy, what is that thing that you just, the vibrating thing that you just put a harness around your love handles and it's supposed to burn the fat because all it's doing is wiggling your midsection?
Like a stomach wrap?
Yeah, of course he does.
I don't know what that is. I don't know.
So you got you like I got you like skating side to side like they do in heavyweights
on the oiled plank.
Yeah.
You just try to fry something on the oil.
That's it. You guys already ran out. Now I've got to carry us again to someplace else. That's it. No more jokes.
I mean, well, we can't carry you because you're fat.
But I need to keep talking here in order to keep this moving. I need to keep saying things, otherwise the bit dies.
I'm looking up the stomach belt thing. Yeah, hold on a second.
What's your story about Fowler?
Why would you make a yacht 394 feet? Like, just splurge and add an extra 7 feet and make it 401 so you say you have a 400-foot yacht, right? I mean, there's a lot of deck at the end of this thing. We can't extend it a couple extra feet here.
It's just called a stomach belt. You put it on, you know, you have to put like some stuff on your stomach and it electrocutes you and you can sit on the couch and you lose weight. They claim that you can lose weight and have a six pack. I mean, that's what it is.
I'm actually thinking, though, of something even earlier than that. I'm thinking of a contraption, and this might be sort of a contraption where it is a bit of a treadmill and you stand on it and then you wrap it around your waist, around your back, and it basically just shakes you. And it isn't just sort of trying to strengthen your core. It's a machine of some sort. I imagine housewives used in the 60s or 70s. It's the very stupid advent of people actually taking care of themselves. But do you guys want to
get you? I can get you one for $450 on eBay right now. The vintage Esca Slimline Belt Vibrator Waist Fat Shaker Exercise Machine.
That's what I was doing. I'm sorry it took us so long to get there when I was working out with Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit. But yes, they work out as you imagine they would, and they've been doing it for about 25 years. Although Herbstreit evidently less than Fowler.
AKA Walton Mark II Belt Vibrator Exercise Waist Fat Abdominal Toner Machine.
This is going to get back to Herbstreit that I called him fat, isn't it?
Yeah, but we're also calling you fat, so it might equal out. Like, send them the whole segment, okay?
All right, no, actually, just put it on the poll, Guillermo. Has Kirk Herbstreit gained weight? Just put it on the poll without any context.
I mean, when you're comparing anybody to Chris Fowler, you got a ways to go. There's a gulf, a sizable gulf between he and anyone else I know. The closest thing is Izzy Gutierrez.
Herbstreit won yesterday. You guys saw, right? He told everybody, man, people, Herbstreit has been right a couple of times here. Recently, he was talking about how coaches have told him that there are many other coaches out there using COVID as an excuse to try and just avoid getting thumped. And everyone assumed because Herbstreit's kid plays at Clemson, that was coming from Dabo Swinney, who said basically that FSU just didn't want to play because they were going to get embarrassed. Herbstreit won yesterday because he was saying that Michigan and Ohio State was not going to be played, and people crushed him. And then Michigan and Ohio State wasn't played, and you would assume that Jim Harbaugh doesn't want any part of playing that game this year.
Michigan finally beat Ohio State. I mean, Ohio State needs that game. They really do. They need a sixth game to get on their schedule to get to the Final Four, and people are criticizing Michigan for not, you know, it seems like they just don't want to play, want nothing to do with that game.
Well, so. Did you see how Herbstreit said it? Because you also have to take in mind he's an Ohio State guy and how that comes off. It was how he said it. I think a lot of us in our college football group chats would talk that way, but for Kirk Herbstreit, who is, I think, the highest paid talent now that John Gruden has gone in this company, and he's a part of like a 10-pole.
Stephen A.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Stephen A. But he's a part of a 10-pole broadcast. Is to find the voice of college football sort of chatting the way that you would in a group chat was sort of jarring.
Did you guys see, incidentally, what happened with Stephen A couple of days ago on Twitter? A lot of people were applauding him because somebody pointed out to Stephen A. Smith that he was making an awful lot of money at a time when people aren't making an awful lot of money. The look and the sound and the tone of Stephen A. Smith working and enjoying sports and getting a salary of, what's that been reported at, Mike? Like $10 million a year, something crazy like that. He's the highest paid employee at the company, and somebody pointed out to him, I guess what, that he should be taking care of other people at the company? Or what are they, that whatever it is, they pointed out to him, he said, I generate revenue, clown. I help keep jobs, not lose them. And he was given a lot of applause for I generate revenue, clown.
I mean, he's absolutely right. The money he brings in does help keep people here.
Oh, yep. Yeah, he's yep. Right. But that didn't keep one of our guys from being fired when I made that same argument.
Well, you don't bring in revenue.
Right.
I don't bring in revenue the way he brings in revenue.
I'm not certain. Do you bring in any? I don't know.
I just take.
Yeah, what are you saying? Yeah. You bring in revenue?
Which reminds me, what did you have for lunch?
You guys don't think I bring in revenue? Doesn't the stuff that we do around here bring in revenue? And during a pandemic. Something. During a pandemic, was there a whole lot of sponsorship being canceled around here?
I mean, no. this is hard for me to answer.
You bring me revenue.
Yeah.
In here.
Where's the cutoff between like a mega yacht and like a small cruise ship? Because small cruise ships, I'm not a fan of getting on, but mega yachts, I feel like I'd be fine with.
Are you just enjoying the holy hell, Billy, out of what you're doing right now? Like, tell me more of the things that you're finding. Right now, you are surfing a wealthy wave, right? There's all sorts of fascinating.
A world I didn't know existed.
Are you aware that there's some sort of cutoff between ship and boat? Right?
No. What is that?
I don't know what it is. I'm not a boater, but I think that I have made the mistake because my brother has painted a cruise ship, and because he was friends with the CEO, and because I know Mickey Arison, I've made the mistake of calling that a boat, and it's an insult to call the thing that they have a boat. They demand that it be called a ship.
Okay, it's a boat or a ship, whatever you decide that you want to call it. Like, get over yourself. There's enough. You did own a boat though for a while. You caved in. Like every time I go to the Keys, I drive home thinking I'm going to buy a boat, but I never caved in. You actually bought a boat.
No, I did not. No, I didn't buy a boat. What I did was a friend of mine had a boat, and I made the exchange. And Mike, and certainly all of you will recognize this. My deal was, okay, I'll pay for half the boat. and I ain't ever doing anything other than showing up and we're going out on it. Like, I'm not learning anything. I'm not cleaning anything. I'm not putting anything away. I want a boat in Miami where I just show up and we go out. And this is the deal. I'll pay for half of it. That's a good deal, right?
Yeah, how'd it go?
Not well at the end.
Everyone's had that temptation in South Florida, though, right? You go on a
I've never intended on buying a boat.
You never thought to yourself, oh, it'd be nice to have a boat and daydream and think about yourself out on the ocean. I mean, nice, you know?
Think about yourself?
Just me. Yeah. I ain't bringing anyone on that boat.
Yeah. You want to have a friend with a boat. You want to have family with a boat. You don't want to be in charge of the boat.
Do we know what the number is, though, Billy? Does anyone know what the number is? There is absolutely a number that makes it go from boat to ship. I don't know.
I know the difference. A boat is a small to mid-sized vessel which has much large or much lesser cargo carrying capability as compared to a ship. Ships are specifically made to carry cargo or passengers or boats, whereas boat is a generic term used for a variety of watercrafts. That's according to marineinsight.com. Mainly boats are used for recreational purposes, fishing, or ferry people.
But Billy is stuck. He's on the Rob Report still. He is stuck on the super yachts. It's the best part of the Rob Report. This super yacht has a beach club. The yacht is ridiculous on its own. But with the push of a button, you have essentially a beach club, hotel-type beach club, that expands out while the yacht is in the water, and it's got a couple of boats that come with it. And it's amazing.
And there's a helicopter on it, so I don't know if that makes it a ship or a boat if it has a helicopter on it.
Yeah. Billy, you remember, right, all the shows we did about, is his name Ibrahimovic, the wealthy...
Roman Abramovich.
Abramovich. Yeah. The boat that is so large that he can't basically dock it anywhere. He comes to Miami and there's just no place to put it. You remember?
What a hardship.
We did. Did you do that on purpose? Put the ship in hardship?
Yeah, you got it.
That's a good pun. That's a good pun. What a hardship. Weren't the seats in that made of like blue whale foreskin or something that costs $1 million an inch?
Yeah, whale foreskin. I've heard from people that have gone on that boat. It's as nuts as you hear. Yeah, it's insane.
What's wrong with pleather?
I think it's the salt water, actually.
You've heard from people who have been on that ship?
That have been, like, I think Roman Abramovich, who owns Chelsea, by the way, so I'm a little uncomfortable, has, like, this banging New Year's party where, like you'll see, like, Bono and, like, you'll get unbelievable people there. And I've also heard some people be like, meh. I'm like, shut up. Just shut up. Meh. Like Bono's on a private island singing New Year's Day on New Year's Day.
What did Bono think of the boat?
He'd probably be like, meh.
What else have you found there on your search through the Rob Report, Billy? Because it's been hard to get your attention the whole show. You've had this giant smile on your face. As
this
you're
yacht,
just clearly...
man, I'm telling you.
Yeah, this one yacht. Billy and I
have never seen a yacht like this before.
Man.
Whose is it?
I think it's a concept yacht, so it may not even be real. I may be looking at fantasy right now. I really don't get why they couldn't have made it 400 feet. You're that close. I mean, just go to the 400.
I think it is conceptual. They're saying, hey, if you want this, we can make it for you, you know?
Do you guys know, like, what? I'd be curious what Stugatz does with this, because Stugatz is forever the guy, whatever, don't care about your rules. I'm Stugatz. I get to do whatever it is that I want to do. Are you aware that when getting on someone else's boat or ship that you need to take your shoes off, that your shoes need to be off? You can't be walking around in sneakers or flip-flops.
No, I was not aware. Well, why?
So what do you say to the – well, I don't know because I'm not a boating person. So, but I know that I've made the mistake of walking on to someone's boat or ship, and when they're a boating person, they take these things very seriously, and so you insult them when you do something that is even born of just ignorance.
So they're not going to allow me on their boat if I don't take my – I mean, I don't – I'm not a big boater, so if that's one
no,
of the
but
staples –
No, but I'm asking you – so
right.
If you – I'm asking you, Stugatz, entitled, I make my own rules – if I'm invited on your boat, I'm an important person, I'm a celebrity, I'm coming on the way that I want to come on. Someone tells you getting on the boat, hey, the rule of boats here is that you don't wear your shoes. Are you taking your shoes off, or are you just going to keep waddling around?
I'm doing what I feel like I want to do. I'll tell them if I don't feel like taking my shoes off, the rules to having me on your boat, or I keep my shoes on. How about that? Then we just stare at each other until someone blinks.
So stupid. You go out on a fishing boat, you got to take off your shoes so you don't get dirt on it, but blood and guts from fish is fine to get all over your boat, please.
Exactly.
Well, you
it's not really fishing boats that they make you take your shoes off.
No, like... no, it's all boats. Trust me, these boat people, you know them when you see them.
Would you like to take them out, or are you just busy going to indifferently read the Rob report? Like, are you? Do you want to take out the boat? The boat?
No,
people?
I aspire to be a boat person one day, or maybe a ship person. You look
You look like a boat person, Bill. I could see you out in the waters.
Wait a minute. On our show, in terms of looking most like a Miami boat person, well, wait a minute, phrasing, because we're all sort of emerging from Cuban.
Don't laugh at that, Stu.
Boatness, yes. Don't laugh, Stugatz. But Tony, Mike, and Billy are the most Miami boat guys. Like the most guys, the guys most likely to be seen on a Miami boat with Odell Beckham when he's partying down here and shouldn't be.
I think I've seen Tony on a boat.
Yeah. Tony wins, right? Tony wins in terms of being, even his name, Kaladiud, is just something, someone who sounds like they're on a Miami boat partying with the athletes.
I see Billy as an actual guy that would take it seriously, be out in the water. Yeah. He'd be like a boatsman. I see Tony in the middle of all the action.
I'm a seaman. There's rules to the seas, gentlemen. You need to follow things closely. I'm like a 15 footer, probably like a 15 to 19 footer, where Tony's probably like a 27 plus footer.
Yeah, but it's never his boat, though. He's just invited to the party because Tony.
Well, you know how we do. We bring all the extracurriculars. But on the picture where all the Giants were in Tim's on the boat, I was actually inside the cabin trying to lace up my Tim's to go out and take the picture, but they took it without me.
I believe that about Tony. Why do I believe that about Tony? Tony has
because you follow only in date, and you've seen how many times his boat has sank.
Can you guys help me with something that's presently happening on the internet? Because I genuinely want to understand what's happening. Because Bengals Dolphins, someone being referred to as an Instagram model, flashed her bra, and she's got like 400,000 followers, and it became a thing. The flashing of a bra. During Bengals Dolphins, and the I'm not on Instagram, and the whole Instagram model thing, I'm too old. I'm not there. And what I want to understand from you guys, because Miami has a lot of Instagram models, it's got to be something that you find more here than just about
it's our
anywhere.
Chief export.
It really is. And so what I want to just ask you guys, Instagram models are just pretty women on Instagram, right, who then develop a following, and there is a monetary gain to being an influencer. But what an Instagram model is just basically a pretty woman on social media who's not afraid to be pretty on social media, correct?
I don't know if it has to be. These guys
would know
better.
That gets you the designation, though, of Instagram model. Well, just a beauty who's got a lot of followers because she's beautiful.
Does she have to be beautiful is my question. Yes. Can she just be an influencer without being beautiful?
No, not an influencer. Okay. Instagram model. What do you mean does she have to be beautiful? No,
I'm not on the gram, man. I don't know.
Seems as though it's one of the requirements.
Well, I don't know. It's like saying a plumber is just someone who plumbs. Yeah, that's what they do. Well, what it's a swan-shaped yacht, guys. Why would you need a yacht shaped like a swan? And the submarine I was telling you about before goes 3,300 feet under the ocean. No, thank you.
You're afraid of submarines? That's not surprising to me at all. You're afraid
of
underwater.
Okay, first of all, how far out do I need to go before I could go 3,300 feet under the surface? And what am I going to find down there? Have you guys not seen Megalodon, the Meg? There's nothing good down there. What am I going to see? And I can't even see certain colors once you go down there. You know, color spectrum goes away. I guess if you have a light, you could see some of it, but you lose the reds right away. Then things start just becoming green and blue. Are you guys familiar with how color works underwater? You can't see everything down there.
Are we going to do my favorite color before we get out of here? Before we get out of ESPN, I've got the number one color is still out there. And put on the poll, please, for us, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Is there anything good at the bottom of the sea? Because I think Guillermo might be right about this. We're all a little bit afraid of the bottom of the sea, correct?
Yeah, I have no interest in what's down there.
Yeah,
none.
Those fish with all the teeth and then the light bulb at the top of their head. The fuck is that?
I've lived my life by two guiding principles since I was younger. One, nothing good happens after midnight. Two, there's nothing good at the bottom of the ocean.
The nothing good happens after midnight suggests that you've never had sex after midnight. I don't understand why. So you've always had sex before midnight?
Tony only has sex after midnight.
Why are you obsessed with Tony's sex life? This, you're creeping me out, okay? I know, but what is this path? Why do we keep going down this path? Why, Billy? Tell us why. Why?
We've addressed this.
No, I want to address it again. Why? Why do you think we keep ending up in a path where Stugatz makes us all uncomfortable because of how he feels about Tony?
Because you may want to, you know.
What?
Say it. You may want to fuck him.
I do.